here, the rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground.
Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are
the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and TropaGoal.com, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Van Bortle Auto Group, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Everyone, and welcome to tonight's edition of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. I tell you what, I'm still recovering from the incredible ending to the Rochester Rhinos New York Red Bulls 2 match on Saturday. Two late goals in stoppage time, including the match winner in the 96th minute by our guest tonight from the Rhinos, Sean Tosh. He will be on at 7 o'clock. And we'll talk all about that match in the upcoming USL playoffs and the Rhinos match this Thursday against Toronto FC 2, rescheduled from September 12th. We're also happy to welcome back to the show the former owner of the NASL Rochester Lancers and the founder of this show, the one and only Charlie Sciano. We're going to celebrate the 45th anniversary of the Rochester Lancers winning the NASL title. And boy, what great memories. We're going to talk about Charlie about in just a couple of moments. Michael Lewis will have the U.S. Soccer Report later on in the show, and we'll also have the latest news and commentary on international soccer as well. Joe and I will handle that with Dick Howard still on vacation in the U.K. Let's bring in now the host of the show, Joe Sirianni. Joe's got his Lancer Mania yearbook here, getting ready for this special segment with Charlie Sciano coming up in a moment.
All right. Good evening, Andrew, and good evening, everyone. And reminiscing, but... I have to talk about the excitement of the game that just you alluded to, the Rhinos game, you know, against the New York Red Bull second team, and what a game that was. I think that the fans that, you know, I missed the first two goals by all means, because they scored within the first 5 minutes, I think it was, or 2-3 minutes. We were ahead to nothing, and I brought my umbrella. I got soaked, but that's beside the point. I mean, once I found my seat and I wiped the seat up and everything's done, we were leading to nothing. And I said, oh my God, this is going to be a walk tonight. We're going to be great. So what happened was that, you know, the Rhino became a little bit complacent. And then we got tied, and then in the final, in 96, I think it was 96 minutes. It was the unbelievable happened. And a corner kick, a beautiful headed, and I don't know who did it, but I'm glad that they went in.
Okay. Well, Sean Tosh, you were going to have on the show tonight.
Sean Tosh there, but there was a lot of people in front of the goal. So the reality is that even though... I believe that he did it, okay? So I take back everything I said. But the only thing that happened, it was that we won, and it was the most important thing. You know, and a beautiful end to a beautiful game. I liked the game. It was a give and take. It was great. So.
Well, we'll talk more about the Rhinos and the Red Bulls, too, coming up at 7 o'clock with Sean Tosh. But right now, we're happy to bring on the show the gentleman who, without whom there would not be soccer in Rochester, there would not be soccer in the United States, because if it wasn't for him and Pat Denolfo putting the Lancers into the North American Soccer League in 1970 with the Washington Darts and Joe Robbie, who knows what soccer would be like in the U.S. right now, even if you would be playing pro soccer. So everybody remember, when you think about soccer in this country right now and the great men's and women's teams we have, part of the credit goes to our next guest, the one and only former owner of the Rochester Lancers, NASL team, Charlie Schiano. And Charlie's appearance tonight is brought to you by Faber Homes, owned by another gentleman who's been instrumental in promoting soccer in Rochester for all these years, Bernie Iacovangelo. Call 889-4840 or go to faberhomes.com. And look, if you want a new home, definitely go to Faber Homes. They will take care of you and give you the home that you want. Charlie, I can't believe it's been 45 years. I was looking at a picture online, and I saw this handsome young Italian guy in a track suit holding a little black bag, and it's the host of the show, Joe Sirianni, and it's how time flies.
Well, you know it does, really, and it was a great memories as far as I'm concerned, and time does fly, but Joe's been a stalwart, and you, Andy, have been great in keeping soccer going. And I was really thrilled about the article that was in the DNC yesterday. And I guess it's just something that it brought back so many great memories for me. And, you know, there are many names that should be mentioned, like Tony Pilano and a few others who were very, very influential in helping us keep soccer going in the United States. But more important than anything else, as I look back and think on it, there were so many loyal, wonderful fans, even when they criticized me, who I just loved. And so I get the story straight. It was in 1967, Andy and Joe. And Joe, you remember this distinctly. The first game I ever coached, when the coach we had had a heart attack or something, and I had to step in and take on the Boston Tigers, and they had that great center forward who had beaten us with four straight goals the first time we played him in Rochester, the opening game of the American Soccer League, and we were able to put up a defense I thought was going to stop him. And in the first two or three minutes, sure enough, it was Carlos Minitieri's cousin or brother, whatever he was. He goes in and scores, and we're losing 1-0. And the fans behind me, it's a night game, we had 6,000 fans there, are yelling in Italian, "Lawyer, go back to the courthouse." You know, that was the scenario. So, you know, the article doesn't quite get everything straight, but it just brought back memories, but I'll never forget those fans yelling at me. And then we end up winning the game 5-1. But I'm certain it wasn't my coaching; it was certainly the playing of the great players we had in that first 1967 team. And most of them came from the Italian American Sports Club, and we had one or two from we had Laka from the Ukrainians. We had a German player or two. But that was a makeshift. And we had Andy Mackay. What am I saying? So we had a Scotchman. We had a couple of Ukrainians. We had a German. And we had the rest were all from the Italian American Sports Club. And Frank Curricchio and that whole bunch, they were just grand. And I guess those memories will stay with me forever, no matter what else happens to me. But it was just the fans were loyal. They stayed there. And so many fans I could recognize just by seeing them today or remember their faces because they were at every game. And from 67 right through to the 1980, they were just great.
That German player, his name was Manfred Kohler.
Manfred, very good memory, Joe.
Manfred Kohler, yeah. And he was a great player, too. But I think, Charlie, that you alluded to the fact that you know, the Pulano, he was the catalyst to be able to get you and Pat and to sign on for the project, Lancers. Rudy Lepore, of course, was another guy. So, I mean, when you really look back at the history of soccer, it is the nucleus of people that we mentioned and a few other that, you know, we haven't mentioned that really made soccer in Rochester what it is today. And the Italian American Sports Club, it was the catalyst because of that. And, you know, there was a great player like Danny Jones, or there was Tito Laurini, Frank Curricchio. All those guys that became the original Lancers.
And Mauro Felipe and all the
Felipe.
Rest. And,
yeah.
Yeah, but one of the things you got to give me credit for, Joe, and you never did this, but I had to attend all those awful meetings of the American Soccer League and deal with all those different nationalities who were so proud of their teams. And we had the Portuguese team, we had the Italian team, we had the German team, we had the Philadelphia Ukrainian Nationals, and I had to attend all those meetings. Now, I hold it against some of my partners there. I got stuck with all those meetings. I guess that's why I got elected president of the American Soccer League, because I raised so much heck. But, I mean, I was really the rebel, Joe. You know that.
But you forgot Enzo Magnozzi was your ally.
Well, he was. For one point, he wanted to get rid of me as president, but then he became my ally. Well, he's the reason, Enzo's the reason we were able to get Escos, Pancho. You know, and he was, you know, a great Argentinian player, Division I player. We brought him in here, and Enzo's the one who recommended it to me in the late 1970 after the season. I was at a meeting in North American Soccer League, and Enzo called me at the hotel and said, "You ought to take a look at this player I have from Argentina, Charlie." And, of course, Enzo was a great guy and really one of the foundations of soccer in New York City. Without him, there wouldn't have been any of the great European matches and the South American versus Inter Milan that he put on at the Polo Grounds. But now I'm really being a historian of soccer, you guys. You don't want all that from me.
Well, Charlie, we're going to talk about 1970 because it's the 45th anniversary of the Lancers winning the North American Soccer League title, and it was a two-match series against the Washington Darts, the team that came over with you from the American Soccer League.
Right.
A team that was a heavy favorite in that series. They were the best record in the league in 1970. And the Lancers were, I think, third best in the league.
Right.
They won the Northern Division. And I was looking at a picture of the Lancer players. You mentioned about all the great countries that were represented, but on the 70 team, there must have been 10 different countries.
Oh, yeah, they were
players from all over the world.
Place. Yeah.
It was amazing with all the talent that was on that team. But I want to talk about the matches. I mean, the first match the Lancers won at home 3-1, and then we went down.
No, 3-0.
3-0. Sorry, 3-0. The second match was 3-1 in favor of the Darts, but we won the aggregate. So tell us about the two matches and what it was like playing at home and playing down at Catholic University in BC.
Well, the first match was really an exciting match. I guess the goal I'll remember the best is that it was the third goal we scored, and that was Peter Short recovered the ball. Peter Short was our great sweeper, you know, and he had played at Liverpool and everything else, and just a very fine, very fine person and a great soccer player. He cleared the ball to our right wing, who was, what was his name from Ghana, Joe? I'm missing it.
Yael Concom?
No, not Yael, the other one. Not Frank Adoy, the other one.
Gladstone Ofori.
Gladstone Ofori. Gladstone was on the right wing. Gladstone went roaring down the right wing. Peter hit him with a great pass, and Gladstone dribbled past the center line and let off a shot, and it hit the crossbar. It was a great, and there was the one and only, you know, our great friend with two different names, Renato Costa, who at the time was playing under the name of, Raul Herrera comes in, and on the rebound off the crossbar from about 20 yards out, he just pulls his chest back and he heads that ball right in. The goalie had come out because Gladstone let out a bomb. It was a bomb. Came off that crossbar very hard, and Renato Costa, who then was Raul Herrera, hits a great headshot from about 20 yards out, goes right into the goal. The goal was empty, but Renato was there with the rebound, and it was just magnificent. That sealed it. Then we got down to New York, and down to Washington, and we were kind of living it up a bit, and the players were a little lackadaisical, and the Washington Darts came on heavy, and Carlos had a bit of an injury, so he was slowed down, and our attack was really, really down. I thought we were going to walk away with the game, but players were a little lackadaisical, and before you know it, they had a 3-goal lead, and then right near the end, Carlos Mattieri taps went in, and we win it on aggregate. But that team with Willie Evans in the back and the Scottish midfielder they had, they were a solid team. They could compete with any Major League Soccer team, and so could the Lancers. I mean, and I guess that 70 team was just one of my favorite teams together with the 71 and 77 team. But, I mean, looking back, that was our season. That was it. We had to do a lot of things. We had changed coaches in the midseason. I had to step in and coach a game, and then we brought our friend in from Syracuse, and he did a wonderful job coaching and bringing the team together. Brought in the Scorpions that they folded from the – they were still in the American Soccer League, but that's how we got Yael Concom, Renato, Gladstone Ofori, and they sort of built up our midfield very well. And then, of course, we picked up the goalie, the Cat, and those things all made a difference. And we went in there strong. We had two great goalies, and we had a very strong midfielder. But, you know, down in Washington – I got to say, they played a great game. They really came at us pretty hard, and wasn't for Carlos tipping that one in, and we wouldn't have won that championship. But it's been great. One of the great things I really wanted them to put in the article in the paper, by the way, as an aside, Andy, was there was a great photo. I've never seen it before. Of course, you know, Carlos Benetieri, his nickname was Topolino. And I had never seen this photograph. I just found it. It shows Mickey Mouse and Carlos playing with a soccer ball. It really was great. I wish they, and I gave that to the reporter. I said, you ought to use this article, this photograph. He didn't use it, but I thought it was a nifty because Topolino still has got to be one of my all-time favorite Lancers because of his grit and going at it, and he was just fantastic. And when he wanted to play, no one could really stop Carlos. Took two defenders to mark him. He was that good, and he had a shot.
He should be in the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame.
And pardon?
I don't know why he's not. He's the only NASL player to win two MVP awards and two scoring titles, and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's a crime. That's a crime. It's because it's Rochester and not New York City or Chicago. That's why he's not in the Hall of Fame. He deserves to be in that Soccer Hall of Fame.
Because he's not German either.
Well, of course, let's not get political now. But Carlos really deserves to be in there because he did some great things. I mean, some of the shots he made were just unbelievable. Of course, with with Ronaldo da Costa in the center forward position and Carlos on the wing. But Carlos is with us, you know, in the American Soccer League, and he did a great job. He was leading scorer in the American Soccer League. So not only that, but we had some great, great players, and I'm just so proud of all of them. I really am. Whenever I say Lancer, I just think of those great guys, Frank Curricchio, Charlie Mitchell, Carlos, just you
Dick
go
Howard,
down the line.
Can't forget Dick Howard.
Tito Lorini.
Tito Lorini, yes. Yeah, if I forget one name, I'm going to feel sorry about. Those are great moments, though, Andy and Joe, and that 70 championship will always be there. I still have the trophy, and I have the great photographs, and we have a great video, an 8-minute, you've seen it, Joe, of the of the goals Carlos scored in that 70 season. It was just fantastic.
You should put that up on YouTube, Charlie, so everybody can see.
You know, I really should do that. That goal that he scored against it when he dove in a head ball, he was about 4 feet off the ground. He dove in, headed the ball in. That was just one of the spectacular goals I've ever seen. And, of course, the goal up. He scored a goal in the 71 against Montreal from the far corner from 30 yards away. I don't know how the banana kick went in, but it went in. Because Phil Woosom was sitting next to me. He said, that's a Division I goal, Charlie, in any country, England, Germany, or Italy. He just turned to me and said that. And Phil was not very complimentary with Rochester at all. But those were times, guys, and they were glorious times. We were flying the old DC-3, the same one the Americans flew. And there's so many stories about that. And the trips to Washington, back from Washington, Joe, you remember that? Where we were all praying, the rosaries were all out. We never thought we'd make it back.
Thank goodness you did. Well, on our website, socceristhekickinthegrass.com, we have a series with Charlie Schiano where he talks about the origin of the Lancers from the beginning days all the way up through the early 70s. And there's a lot of great stories on there, so you definitely check that out at socceristhekickinthegrass.com. Charlie, one last question I want to ask you. What was the reaction when you guys came home from Washington? Did they give you a parade or any special acclamation?
No, Steve May, the mayor, was there. And the mayor, they declared that salute to Lancer Day. There were the airport. When we landed, with the DC-3, where you fly very low as you come in for landing, we saw all the cars and we saw all the people. There was a major crowd of people there to welcome us. We came in that same day. We flew in right after the game, and of course everybody was feeling pretty good. We had a few drinks on the plane. Everybody was in a celebratory mood. But the mayor was there to welcome us, Steve May, my buddy, and there was a lot of some great pictures of Charlie Mitchell holding up the trophy. He was our captain, and we had just a great welcome. Then we went out to the downtowner, and then we celebrated till late hours in the morning. We were celebrating. You recall that, Joe? But there was a wonderful crowd of people. I guess there were about 500, maybe even a 750. The whole wing of the airport was just crowded with people. We had to make our way through. It was great. They were just there to welcome us back. It was a very thrilling moment coming home to Rochester, and we were shocked to see all the people that were there to greet us. It was heartwarming, and when I say loyal fans, they were great. They were really fantastic.
Charlie, we would be remiss if we didn't mention some of the great coaches that we had. You know, we had Popovich, of course. We had the guy from Billy Hughes. We had
Sal De Rosa.
Sal De Rosa.
How could you forget Sal?
Yeah, I mean, amazing. And the great players that played for us, you know, the people from Portugal, the people from Germany.
Oh, yeah, Silva.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I just look at the...
Prati, Silva.
Yeah. And the American player.
Oh, yeah.
The Jim Palahan.
Drage. Greg Reynolds, who made the great
Greg
pass
Reynolds,
in the game we won up in Toronto.
Yeah, 31
or 32 shots to one.
And, you know, to our credit, because I say our credit, as most of those players that we just mentioned, they're still active in soccer in different position, you know, that they earn money from.
Many of them are coaches.
Yeah, many of them are coaches. And Nelson Copello, kudos to Nelson Copello, because he's assembling a heck of a team at MCC. And we hope to have him on the radio next week.
Well, you know, Nelson was a fine player, and he's just a great gentleman. And I've always had a great admiration for Nelson. And every time we see one another, we hug and everything else. And he's one of the Americans that we're very proud that he wore the Lancer uniform. And I guess, you know, Jimmy Palahan was our captain, and a fine gentleman and a great player. And they were matched up against great European players from Europe and South America. They were playing against Pelé and some of the great German players, the Bomber there. Fort Lauderdale brought in some great players, and so did Tampa Bay. Of course, New York Cosmos brought in everybody, including Franz Beckenbauer. And, you know, he did call Hollander Stadium a potato field. But it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. But, you know, when they compare our stadium to the Meadowlands, and, of course, we played, and I pointed that out to the reporter, we played in Yankee Stadium. We played three games in Yankee Stadium, the old Yankee Stadium. And the history books don't show that, but I remember those games in Yankee Stadium.
We were the first
71.
Team to play there at the Cosmos. We were the first team to play the Cosmos at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, we were.
That was the game they had to postpone a day, and then our doctor was red-carded.
That's right.
Yeah, doctor red carded, a trainer red carded.
Oh, there are great stories. And of course, the poor orthopedic surgeon got red carded. It was announced by the Yankee announcer,
Bob Shepard.
Bob Shepard, red card to their orthopedic surgeon, doctor.
Unbelievable.
I thought I'd never forget that. That was one of the funniest moments of the many funny moments that we had. And what did I mention in the article? It was hard work, but it was great fun, and Rochester deserves a major league team. They really do. And the fans that showed up, I'll never forget the time we beat the Cosmos 1-0 in that summer of 77 on a shootout goal, and people sat on the field after the game and said, "Charlie, we just want to sit here for an hour or so and savor the moment." And there were thousands of them sitting on the field, because we had beaten the Cosmos at Pelé and Beckenbauer and Quinalha and all the rest of them. And it was just, there were magic moments as far as I'm concerned, just magic moments.
Absolutely. And we played the Cosmos every year, and it was always a great event here in Rochester. But Charles, we can go on for a show after
I
show.
I know we could. I don't mean to take all your time.
Well, we'll talk to you.
But I get reminiscing, Andy and Joe.
This.
Listen, thank
I
you.
Know, believe me.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you so much for being on, Charlie. And again, congratulations on the anniversary of the Lancers winning the championship.
And do well. Keep on doing a good job, you two. Goodbye.
Thank you, Charlie. Charlie Schiano, the original host and founder of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. And again, without Charlie, there wouldn't be soccer in Rochester. Speaking of somebody who should be in the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame, we just spoke to him just now. Yeah. We're going to have a quick international soccer report next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, Dick Howard, a very interested listener always at WYSL, and I get my kicks in the grass courtesy of Joe Siriani.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé. Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Hi, this is Kitty Van Bortle. When the time comes for you to buy a used car or truck, I really hope that you'll come to see me. The reason is very simple. You can trust me. You can depend on the fact that I will never sell you a vehicle that has trouble. If one does get past me, you let me know and I'll make it right. I don't care how long you've owned it. So please, don't worry. Just come to my place. I truly take the fear out of buying a used car.
VanBortleCars.com.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline, 234-5555. We have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatores.com.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Jai Paul Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and Builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
The Rochester Rhinos finish up the 2015 regular season this Thursday night at Salem Stadium facing Toronto FC 2 at 7:05. Tickets from the original September 12th match date will be honored. Come early for $2 hots from Nancy's, Cuppies, and Red Osier, and select $2 drafts from the beer truck. And the Rhinos will receive the USL regular season championship trophy at the match. Get your tickets for Thursday's match and the upcoming playoff match on October 3rd by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. Come support your Rhinos as they look to bring home the USL title. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. Joe's still talking about the Lancers. He can't stop talking about them, which is, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. We're very proud of the Rochester Lancers, and without them, there wouldn't be soccer in Rochester. This is Andrew Battisti and Joe Sirianni here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We're going to go to our international report, and it's going to be very quick because we're going to get to Sean Tosh in just a couple of moments. We want to mention Dick Howard is away on vacation. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. Big thing I want to mention, congratulations to Juventus. Joe is smiling from ear to ear. He's got his Juventus cap on, his Juventus shirt, because Juventus beat Manchester City in Manchester 2-1 in the first game of the European Champions League. And that was the first time Man City had lost or even given up a goal this year. And then they go on to lose again on Saturday to West Ham. So what a great performance.
One of the things that I'm really proud of it, because up until that game, Juventus really was not doing any good in the Italian league. And a lot of people, including me, had a lot of doubts about going to England and the chance that they had against Manchester City, because Manchester City was winning until then. So I'm very proud of the game, of the team. I'm very proud of because they just won again yesterday, on Sunday, and a 2-1 game. So a lot of controversy, penalties here, penalties there.
There's controversy, you know, in every match, practically. Jesus.
And I watched the Domenica Sportiva, which is on, and they analyze everything. I am a proponent, like I told you, they should abolish, you know, the video thing of the game, because they keep on playing and second guessing the referees. They're human beings.
That's somehow how they make money, Joe. That's how these movements make money.
I do understand. And this,
That's how we make money.
as we discuss the thing, you know, forward and defender, midfield, they make a ton of mistake, and nobody said anything. You know, once the referee make a mistake, even though I'm not a referee aficionado, I gotta give them credit. So,
well, if you're a fan of Italian soccer and Spanish soccer, there's midweek matches this week in the league, and as well as over the weekends. So you got chances to watch matches all during the week in the league. In England, you've got the Capital One Cup starting up on this week. The big match is going to be Arsenal and Spurs. Anytime those two teams play, it's a war. That'll be Wednesday on beIN Sport. And, of course, we have to mention my team, Chelsea, after a big 4-0 win over Maccabi Tel Aviv. They went ahead and beat Arsenal again, like they do every time, 2-0. And everybody's talking about Diego Costa and what a terrible player he is and what a cheater he is and what a roughhouser he is. Well, you know what? Sometimes you say if the referee doesn't see it, it doesn't matter. It's like the WWE. Unfortunately, the FA saw it, and they're probably going to fine him and suspend him. But you know what? The guy went down like a – he made Materazzi look like an amateur actor, the way the guy flopped when Costa chested him. So, come on. Costa has a reputation, just like a lot of players around the world do. And anytime he does anything wrong, everybody goes after him. All that matters is Chelsea 2, Arsenal 0, and Arsene Wenger lost again to Jose Mourinho. That's all we need to say about it.
Man, you're an aficionado of your team. You wouldn't make any kind of an excuse.
Well, I'm an aficionado of my other team. Say the number one team is the Rochester Rhinos, and we're going to talk about them next with a special guest, the goal-scoring hero from Saturday's thrilling 3-2 win over the New York Red Bulls 2. Sean Tosh will be with us on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040. It's dangerous.
Your local sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1, W22 1CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great price.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Coosh-a-coosh, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me, salvatores.com.
The Rochester Rhinos finish up the 2015 regular season this Thursday night at Salem Stadium facing Toronto FC 2 at 7:05. Tickets from the original September 12th match date will be honored. Come early for $2 hots from Nancy's, Cuppies, and Red Osier, and select $2 drafts from the beer truck. And the Rhinos will receive the USL regular season championship trophy at the match. Get your tickets for Thursday's match and the upcoming playoff match on October 3rd by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. Come support your Rhinos as they look to bring home the USL title. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Corner kick for the Rhinos now. They're pushing bodies forward. Mendoza's delivery into the box. The header and a goal! Sean Tosh! Unbelievable! What a finish and what a goal! Sean Tosh on a dynamite header. And that brings this one to a close. Wow! What can you say?
And that was Joe Giuliano on the call from Saturday night live on the Rhinos YouTube channel. Sean Tosh with the 96th minute goal to give the Rhinos a 3-2 win over Red Bulls 2. And we are joined now by the man himself, Sean Tosh. Sean's appearance brought to you by the Rhinos. The Rhinos play Thursday against Toronto FC, and the first playoff match is October 3rd at Salem Stadium, 7:05 kickoff. Get your tickets for the playoffs for Toronto FC 2 on Thursday, and for next season tickets, 454-KICK, or go to rhinosoccer.com. Sean, have you recovered yet from Saturday? I mean, it had to be an incredible emotional high for you for many reasons. But tell us first of all, how you doing, and tell us about what you're feeling after a couple of days of reflecting on what happened Saturday.
You know, I just kind of tried to, you know, enjoy the moment and kind of be there with my teammates. And I had my sister was in town, so I got to share that with her and, you know, it was a really special goal and a special moment for the team and myself.
So, Sean, we were talking after the match. We got a little video from you that's out on Instagram. And you were saying that after the Red Bulls scored, and they were obviously ecstatic and scoring in the 94th minute, which was pretty amazing, on that corner kick, you said the players from Red Bulls were, like, walking back. I think they were still in a daze or something. And there were like three guys, you or yourself, Grant Van de Castile, and another player, who were all there unmarked, ready to head that ball in. So I think it's just a matter of the Rhinos having a little more experience and playing all the way to the final whistle, which I don't think Red Bulls 2 did in this case.
Yeah, you could definitely, you know, sense the inexperience. And after they scored that goal, they figured the game was over and we were just going to, you know, kick the ball up the field and take the draw. But I mean, this team is, you know, fought till the end, and you know, we weren't going to accept a draw at that point.
Hey, Sean Josiane here, just reflecting on the game and the total game. You know, of course, the rain had their part into, you know, what happened on the field, and certainly, in all honesty, you got to give a lot of kudos to you guys because you played with 10 men, but. A lot of kudos goes to New York, too, because they played a great game. So you guys won, you didn't win against a bad team. You won against a good team, which indicates that the Rhino is really a class act right now. So I just hope that you guys keep the momentum going. And there was a great goal. I mean, it just, you know, what a final, what a culmination. You know, to a night work, you know, that you were able to score that goal.
Yeah, it's pretty special. You know, it's not often you have a goal that's the last touch of the play, the last touch of the game. And, you know, that was pretty awesome how, you know, it scored the goal and then the rest of the whistle right after, they didn't even get a chance.
It was the last kick of the game, last touch of the game. The ball went into the back of the net. It was interesting, Sean. I was looking up some information about you, just looking to see if I could find some background. I stumbled onto your YouTube page, and I found a video of you scoring a goal for Northern Illinois, which was almost a carbon copy of the goal you scored on Saturday. It was a dead ball situation, a free kick on the far side, and the ball was floated in. You headed the ball right into the corner. And it put Northern Illinois into the NCAA tournament that year, from the NIU sports information director told me that. So is that a play that you practice in going for corner kicks and dead ball situations, trying to get a flick on and get it past the goalie like that and into the far corner?
It's something I like to do. I like to try to, get in the near post area and see if I can, beat those first guys for the ball. We train different kind of stuff in practice all the time, and I think I'm a solid player in the air, so I always try to get up and challenge for anything in there. So it's really it was pretty similar to that. You look back, if you look at the video, it's pretty similar situation there, and it was late in that game as well. So I did after I scored that kind of. Reminisce a little bit, thinking that was pretty similar.
You got to give John Mendoza a lot of credit because he plays the ball just right. I mean, he would give her height. He put it in the right place. Usually sometime corner kick, they just go haywire, they go out. He did a great job in placing that ball in the place where you were and giving you the opportunity to score.
Yeah, he did a great job putting it into a good spot. I mean, there was if I didn't get that, I mean, there was two other guys who were there as well. But, I mean, I really think one person you have to give a lot of credit to is Alex Dixon, who off the kickoff played the ball back to him, and he made a 70-yard run up the field to the corner and won us that corner kick. I mean, it was a special play for him as well to be able to, he had to take on two or three guys along the sideline to earn us that corner kick with, time expiring.
Right, it shows a veteran presence that Alex had and the number of years he's had playing, for the Houston Dynamo and for the Rhinos. It really, really showed there. And interestingly enough, the first round of the playoffs, which is October 3rd, that the Rhinos will compete in because they have a bye in the first round, they go into the second round of the East, the semifinal. You're going to play one of the two teams you played last week, either the Riverhounds or New York Red Bulls 2 again. So it just works out. Interestingly, that a team that you played so recently is going to be coming in here to Salem Stadium next Saturday night. So how does that play into the preparation, knowing that you've faced these teams so recently?
I don't think it changes it too much. I mean, we kind of have a little more similar or more familiar idea of what they have. But, I mean, any team that we play is, it's going to be a tough game, and we're going to have to prepare differently, it doesn't make too much of a difference. I mean, as you've seen this season, I mean, we've prepared well for every game. I think anyone that comes against us, we're confident, and it doesn't really change our approach too much.
Well, I think that, best part what Andrew just said, the other team also going to prepare against the Rhino in a different way because they know the assets and the liability of the Rhino as well. So, I'm very happy, the preparation that you guys do and, the tenacity of the coach in inciting your guys to give you 150%. So that's a great accolade for the Rhino as a whole team. And the fans that come over there because without the fans, you really give the fans something to come back for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've had a couple games at home now that we've really put on a show for fans. We had just this last game with a late winner, and then there's also another good one for the fans when we played Harrisburg at home, a 4-0 win. I mean, there's been a couple pretty exciting games that we've had at home, and, I think, one thing Bob stresses and, we try to take pride in as a team is, putting on a good performance for our supporters. I mean, they come in. There's people who are at our games after rain delays and hours of waiting, and we do it for them and to show our respect towards them.
Right. Well, the forecast for Thursday is sunshine and 73 degrees. There's going to be no rain, no thunderstorms, no downpours for Thursday, the final game of the regular season, the rescheduled game with Toronto. And, Sean, we're looking forward to seeing that game. It should be the neither team, obviously the Rhinos want to win this. If they get a shutout, then we will set a new record for, tie the record for shutouts in a season, and also we will have the fewest number of goals given up. So I think that the shutout is probably paramount for the team. But I know you guys want to put a few balls in the back of the net to get momentum for the playoffs. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys on Thursday at 7:05 against Toronto FC 2. And have a great week. Enjoy it. And we'll see you Thursday.
Absolutely. See you guys then.
Thanks a lot, Sean. It's Sean Tosh of the Rochester Rhinos. Again, the Rhinos in action this Thursday night. Unusual Thursday night game because of the makeup from the rainout on the September 12th against Toronto FC 2. Get your tickets by calling 454-KICK. Again, $2 hot dogs at certain vendors and $2 drafts for certain types of beer at the beer truck from 6 to 7 on Thursday night. We come back, Michael Lewis and the U.S. Soccer Report here on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
This is Dave Farrick, and I listen to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL with Joe, my good friend. The new follow-up of Public Demand. Slick as five, the loud megaphone. Take you down to the Twilight Zone.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The West and New York Flash would like to thank all their fans in Rochester and the surrounding area for their support during this past season in the NWSL. Season ticket packages for the 2016 Flash are now on sale. Be one of the first 30 to purchase 2016 club-level season tickets and receive free parking for the entire season. Season tickets are available in every price level starting as low as $100. To purchase your season ticket, call 454-KICK. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
People offer a lot of financial advice these days, but the best tip is start with someone you know, like your local Allstate agent, because the same person you count on to protect the here and now can also help you build a solid plan for your financial future, or a plan that includes life insurance to help protect your family down the road. A good plan and a good life starts with someone you trust.
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo and start planning your retirement today. Allstate Life Insurance Company of New York, Hapag, New York.
Hi, this is Kitty Van Bortle. When the time comes for you to buy a used car or truck, I really hope that you'll come to see me. The reason is very simple. You can trust me. You can depend on the fact that I will never sell you a vehicle that has trouble. If one does get past me, you let me know and I'll make it right. I don't care how long you've owned it. So please, don't worry. Just come to my place. I truly take the fear out of buying a used car.
VanBortleCars.com.
The Rochester Rhinos finish up the 2015 regular season this Thursday night at Salem Stadium facing Toronto FC 2 at 7:05. Tickets from the original September 12th match date will be honored. Come early for $2 hots from Nancy's, Cuppies, and Red Osier, and select $2 drafts from the beer truck. And the Rhinos will receive the USL regular season championship trophy at the match. Get your tickets for Thursday's match and the upcoming playoff match on October 3rd by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. Come support your Rhinos as they look to bring home the USL title. Get your Rhinos tickets today.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropigol.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Always good to hear the chairman of the board himself, Mr. Sinatra. Our U.S. Soccer Domestic Report with Michael Lewis, brought to you by Top Notch Monogramming. Northfield Common in Pittsford. Call 248-2650 or go to topnotchmonogramming.com. I almost hate to say this, but it's about 3 months till Christmas. So if you want to get your Christmas shopping done early for all the soccer fans, all of the reggae fans, Grateful Dead fans, and of course, professionals who want embroidered and monogrammed shirts, anything like that, go to Tony and Michelle at Top Notch Monogramming. Tell them that you heard about their store on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. And, of course, they will treat you top notch like they do with all of their customers. Michael, how are you doing tonight? What's going on in New York?
Well, I'm doing okay, thank you. Just at a boys' high school soccer game. Chairman of the board, to me there's only one chairman of the board, with all deference to Frank Sinatra, that's Charlie Sciano. But
yes, he's doing okay. He'll love you for that. He's probably listening right now.
Yeah, he's probably getting a good laugh, a good chuckle. Yeah.
Well, Michael, we had some big news break yesterday in Major League Soccer and certainly a big Rochester connection here. The Chicago Fire cleaned house. They fired everybody from their coaching staff, and we're very happy to say that Webster's Brian Bliss is the new head coach, at least for now, of the Chicago Fire, and that marks the fifth person now in Major League Soccer who has a Rochester connection, who was coaching along with Mauro Biello, who's the head coach in Montreal, Dave Sarakin in L.A., Ian Fuller, the former Rhino in Orlando City, and Pat Onstad in Columbus. So what are you hearing about this, Michael? Obviously, Chicago having a very rough year this year, but doing it now is a bit surprising.
Really rough last several years. I don't know what's happened to the team, to the franchise, that they just can't get over the playoff hump and be competitive on a regular basis. And you wonder why they, you know, why wait so long deep in the season? Why don't you do this beforehand? I know MLS owners or GMs or sporting directors have been slow to pull the trigger of, you know, to fire coaches this year, but you would think that they would have tried to do something well before this. I mean, heck, they've been trailing NYCFC for most of the year, and they haven't, that expansion team hasn't done up to maybe a lot of people's expectations. But I'm very happy for Brian. I hope he gets the job permanently. I think it's a great opportunity. He's definitely paid his dues on several levels, and hopefully things will shake out well for them, for him, and for Chicago.
Mike, how do you rebuild, you know, in a situation like this? Brian Bliss certainly is an experienced manager and a player. What are the essential to rebuild a team and regain confidence and you know, and prepare?
Well, I think the most important thing is to go in with a game plan, and I have no doubt that Brian Bliss is going to do that. And you take a look at the players you want to have return, make them the core, and then as Phil Fuhrer, the former sports editor of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, said back in the day, you have to sometimes back up the truck, and that's what he's going to have to do, clean house and build it in his image. And rebuild the team. And, you know, it's in MLS, it's not difficult to turn things around. You've had a number of great examples of teams that have been at the bottom of the pile, i.e. The Kansas City Wizards in 1999 went from worst to first. The Metro Stars that same year from 99 to 2000, they went from second worst to one of the top teams in the league. DC United did it recently as well, too, and there are a couple of other teams that have done it. So if you know what you want to do and you can get the right players and put in the right system, you can do it. It's not going to be easy, but it has been done.
And Brian Bliss's comment is, there's no magic wand. Well, that's for sure, unless you're Samantha or something. I know that's a dated comment for those of you who love Bewitched like I did. But anyway, he does as well as Mauro Biello. Mauro Biello has done a great job so far with Montreal. They're certainly very much in the playoff hunt, and they had a big win over DC, over New England Revolution, 3-0 on Saturday. And that kept the Revs out of first place, and the Red Bulls are now back in first place in the East, and they are actually the first team to clinch their spot in the MLS playoffs. So congratulations to Mauro, and congratulations to the Red Bulls as well.
Well, you know, definitely. And I know the Red Bulls have a new coach this year, Jesse Marsh. He replaced Mike Pecky, who was fired, not because he was doing a lousy job, but because there was a new sporting director who wanted a different and new philosophy on the team. Marsh obviously did not have the two big DP players from last year in Thierry Henry and Tim Cahill, but he rebuilt the team in his image, made some important additions, and also put in a style of play of this high pressure that the entire team has bought into. And I think that's a major reason why the Red Bulls have been able to accrue so many points and wind up in first place at the present time and become the first team to reach the playoffs. Again, that's essential, you know, knowing what you want to do and just stay focused on that. I know that I'm probably throwing a few cliches out there, but that's what you have to do when you're a coach of a new coach of a team. Have a game plan and follow it, and Jesse Marsh has followed it to a T. It hasn't been perfect. It never is for any team, but he's done very well, and he has to be considered for Coach of the Year.
Mike, you said something that just kind of struck me funny. You know, the sporting director are the guys that really call the shots, but the coach is the one that suffer. Why is that?
Well, you know, because they're in the middle of things. You see them on TV so much. They're in the press conferences. They're talking to the media. Sporting directors do get fired. They're just not as, let's say, high profile in the media as much. But they do come and go, but it's not the same thing. You've got me thinking. I'd love to, if I had some time, to see how quickly sporting directors are removed as opposed to coaches. But I don't think people keep scorecards on that. Usually it's on coaches getting fired more than the sporting directors do on our scorecard.
I think probably people would be hard-pressed to even know who a sporting director is. But let me ask you this, Michael, real quick. This coming Saturday, it's Red Bulls 2 taking on the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. It's going to be at Red Bull Arena. Are you planning on going to that match? It starts at 5 o'clock, and the winner plays the Rhinos in the playoffs.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to make the game. I have some other professional commitments, but John Wolniak has done a very good job with Red Bull 2 this year. I think they struggled early on. I think we were both at the first game of the season for them against Rochester way back in, what was it, March, I think?
March, yeah.
March or April. And, you know, they've come very, very far. Unfortunately for Red Bull 2, they don't have some of the players that made them a dangerous side during the summer. They've gone on to college. One of the Etienne brothers, one of the Etienne players, who's now at the University of Virginia, and you can't bring them in from college for that game. So it's going to be interesting to see the MLS teams that have lost some of their college players, how they fare against USL teams that haven't lost any players later on.
We'll see what happens with that. It should be very interesting. It's 5 o'clock on Saturday. You can watch it on YouTube. Michael, thanks so much. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
For sure. You too. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Mike.
It's Michael Lewis here on Soccer is Kicking the Grass. You can hear Michael with the U.S. Soccer Report every week here on our show. I want to thank Sean Tosh from the Rhinos, all the Rhinos staff. Rhinos in action Thursday against Toronto FC, 7:05, and October 3rd in the first playoff match at Salem Stadium. 454-KICK. Go to rhinosoccer.com to get your tickets. This has been Andrew Battisti, Joe Sirianni, and Bob D'Angelo down at WISL. Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WISL, 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Joe?
One and up then. Good night, everybody.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos and Western New York Flash, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Van Bortle Auto Group, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.